I'm excited tonight as I continue to finish up the sermon series entitled Stressed Out. Fixed all my slides except this first one. That's okay. Tonight we're going to preach the last of five sermons we've been preaching on being stressed out. And we've talked about God having plans, and we've talked about God being in charge, and we've talked about casting our cares on Him. And I believe tonight is a night to try to encourage one another. And as we start this new year, it's a time to change the way we look at life. Many people have started this new year and they have set out New Year's resolutions. They have said that they want to lose so many pounds. They have said that they want to exercise more, that they want to do this more, to do that more. And we want to change the way, many times, we look. But I think that what's more important is that we learn to change the way we look at life. Change the way we look at the things around us. Because I'm going to tell you, when we change the way we look at circumstances, when we change the way we look at situations, we're going to change the way we respond. And when we change the way we respond, we can find a place that we are no longer stressed out. My goal for this year is to be able to get to a place in my life where I'm not stressed out, where I'm not worried, I'm not fearful, I'm not doubting. Everybody knows when we started this series, within the first week, it seemed like the whole world tried to fall apart on me. There's one thing right after another. Now, 2 months later, and I feel that leveling. Partly because life has leveled a little bit, but mostly because I've changed the way I look at things. I was telling somebody today, since we've moved into the house, I don't think me and Beth have had a night off since we moved into the house, except maybe Christmas Day, and we had company part of that day. But do I feel stressed out? No, I might feel tired sometimes. My body hurts moving around that lift thing and all that stuff yesterday, hanging these flags about killed my back. But other than that, I'm doing pretty good. But I think a lot of it stems from that I'm changing the way I look at things. And that's what this sermon is about. I know it says Jeremiah 29:11. That's not where we're going. Won't you open your Bibles with me, if you will, to Psalms chapter 46. That's right, amen. Let's try that again. Let's open the Bible together. There we go. Oh, we're opening the Bible. Psalms chapter 46. I'm going to be reading from the New Living, from the New King James Version. We'll read the entire psalm tonight. It says this. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and is swelling, Selah. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raised, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made the desolation in the earth. He makes war cease at the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for your power. Lord, I thank you that you are with us. Lord, I thank you that you protect us, that you go before us. Lord, that you come behind us, you encamp around about us. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your protection and your direction. Lord, I pray that as I share this word tonight, Lord, that you would get me out of the way and share directly into the hearts and lives of those that hear this word. We give you glory and we give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This passage of Scripture is powerful. We start this passage with God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. I got news for you. When we talk about stress, we're talking about fear. And when we understand who God is and what God has got in mind to protect us in God's power and God's strength, then we can go to the end of this chapter that says, stand still and see the deliverance. Stand still and know that I am God. Stand still and know that I am God. I'm going to be exalted, the Lord says. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter what you go through. I'm going to be exalted. We face trials and we face struggles. But sometimes we got to get our eyes off of them and look at Him. We got to get our eyes off of what we think we know and find who God really is in our life. Too many times we build things up. It's what Pastor Jared talks about in the video I'm about to show. He's going to spend a few moments talking about how that sometimes we catastrophize things. We make things catastrophes that maybe, may be, or maybe not catastrophes. Go ahead and show that video. I got it.
Even though I grew up in the Midwest, I have never actually been in a tornado. My wife, on the other hand, tells a story when she was 5 and she was running and wind swept up her jelly shoe. I don't know if that was a tornado. In my mind, she kind of catastrophized or exaggerated an event. And if she did that, she wouldn't be the only one to do that. You lose a job, and what do we tell ourselves? We tell ourselves we'll never get a job again because of our age or experience. Someone breaks up with you, and you think, oh, I'll never find someone else who cares for me like that person. That's just real practical things. You write a report, and you give it to your boss, and she doesn't respond right away, and you start saying to yourself, oh, I bet she hated it, and you start to worry, and you add all this stress to your life. Your friend doesn't call you back, and you think, oh, he must hate me, only to find out your boss was busy and says, I really did like the report, or your friend dropped their phone in the sink, so they said, sorry, I couldn't get back to you, I lost my phone. All this is catastrophizing something, and when you do that, our body thinks we're in fight or flight mode, and it adds all this pressure to us. And it changes not the problem, it changes us, and not for the better. What do you do, though, when it's actual problems? Not all our stress is exaggerated and catastrophized. I may have asked my father-in-law just a couple years ago about Amy's tornado story. Totally real. A tornado ripped through the campground, knocked over trees, blew over campers, and they were running for their life to get to shelter. When you face problems that are real, that you're not just making up, when it seems like you really cannot pay your bills, when it seems like you're not getting better, when it seems like divorce is inevitable after an affair or at this ugly relationship situation, you need to run to shelter. But worry is not a shelter. Anxiety is not a shelter. Alcohol, not a shelter. Drugs are not a shelter. Eating too much, that's not a shelter. God tells us where our real shelter is. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. I love that verse because it reminds me of the strength of God, but one of my favorite verses is found in that strength. At the end of that chapter, it says, be still and know that I am God. In your life, when you take on these stresses, give them to God. God is bigger than your problems. God loves us. He cares for us. He's taking care of our biggest problem in Christ. But in the end, let God be God, and let us be us. Let's pray. God, as we contemplate all the stress that we have this week, we pray that we don't catastrophize things, we don't exaggerate all these things. Instead, we let those things that we can handle be handled, and the things that you should handle, you handle. God, you be God, and we'll be us. Amen.
You begin to look at this passage of Scripture, we find a blueprint for how to deal with problems, how to deal with situations. I love the story that Pastor Jared shares about his wife and how he always thought that she was just exaggerating, but it was real. How do you deal with real? We can tell each other, oh, quit exaggerating. We can say it's all in your head. I'll get in trouble for that one later. We can say all these things when we think it's not real. But the truth is, sometimes we do have real problems. Sometimes we are sick. Sometimes we are broke. Sometimes we do have spiritual struggles. How do we deal with those things? Well, I believe that the psalmist here gives us the answer. And he gives us this pattern that if we follow, whether we are over-dramatizing our problem, or whether we are facing a world-changing situation, the answer is always the same. The first thing that he points out to us here in Psalm 46, he says, God is always ready. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Your God is ready to help you. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to pay money. We don't have to buy it. We don't have to be good enough. God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Every time we face a struggle, every time we face a heartache, God is there and he's ready to help. Now, too many times, we're not ready to let God help. Too many times, we don't want to let go of it. That goes back to the very first sermon we preached in this series, casting all of our care on him, that we've got to understand it's not ours to hold. He's given us an opportunity to give it to him. But he's always there and he's always ready. He's ready to give you peace. He's ready to give you hope. He's ready to give you an answer. When we can understand that God is always ready, that he is always ready to move forward, it allows us to move on. The next thing that we see is that we will not fear anything. This psalmist goes on and says, therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Now think about this. The psalmist here doesn't say our God is a very present help in time of trouble. Even though somebody looked at us funny, even though we had a hard time making that bill, even though we're not sure that we did enough for our spouse at Christmas, all of those things are real issues. I've been there when I didn't have the money to pay the bill. I've been there when I felt like I didn't do enough for my family for a holiday. I've been there when I felt like somebody didn't like me or didn't care for me. I've been all those things. They're painful. They hurt. They're sorrow. But the psalmist said, let me show you that we don't need to fear even when it's drastic. When the whole earth, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed. Think about that. Not I be removed, the earth be removed. See, there's only one thing I can think of worse than me dying, and that is the earth that I depend on for my life disappearing. In my mind, in my mindset, there is no other way to survive. If the earth disappears, I'm gone. If the earth disappears, there's no hope. It reminds me of Paul as he's riding as a prisoner on a boat. And the Bible says that a great storm, they called it a Euroclodon, comes up. And when that storm came up and the ship was battered and tossed and it was at the mercy of the winds for days, Paul gets up and comes up to the sailors and says, "Don't be afraid, guys. We're just going to lose the boat. We're in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the sea, on a boat. And your word of encouragement to me is we're just going to lose the boat. God is speaking to us through the psalmist here and said, look, we don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to have any fear, even if we lose the earth. If the earth itself disappears, if he goes on, he says, if the earth disappears, is removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now I'm going to tell you something. You want to stir me up and shake me up a little bit? Let me watch a mountain flying through the sky going to the sea. When I see what I think is solid moving, it's not natural. Though the earth be carried to the midst of the sea. Now, I got to point this out. He didn't say that the mountain fell off into the sea. He didn't say it. He said it was carried to the midst, the middle of the sea. Ooh. Weird stuff going on around here. Though the mountains be carried to the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled. I didn't get to talk to him today. Beth did. Beth got to talk to Anthony today. Anthony is suffering in the Caribbean right now. And while we have ice, he's got Caribbean storms. Because there's a storm at sea today. And he said she was talking to him on the phone. He kept going, "Stop, stop, stop." She goes, "What?" She goes, "It's moving all over my room. Stuff in his room is moving. The sea is tossing to and fro because the storm is there." I've been on one cruise in my life, and I'm telling you, we had calm water, but if we had had real rough water, when Anthony first got the job, I looked up a bunch of videos of storms at sea and sent them all to my son just before he went out on his first boat. That's the kind of loving father I am. And there were pictures and videos of grand pianos sliding across the ship, being tossed by the waves. I'm going to tell you, when waves begin to roar, they have more power than anything we can imagine. Waves can wash out shorelines, can wash out buildings. When we went down and we've helped at the hurricane relief and Hurricane Harvey, there were buildings that were washed away by the waves. In Florida, they tell me that in the hurricane relief down there, there were whole communities in the Florida Keys that were completely wiped out by the waves. The psalmist here says, though the waves, the ocean, be tossed and be angry, and it roars, we don't have to be afraid. He goes on, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Now when you read this, it says, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountain be carried to the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. That "its" is referring to the oceans. The oceans fight The oceans roar and swelling begins to shake the mountains. All of the earth is in turmoil. Everything is shaking. I've never felt an earthquake. I've been in a few, they tell me, but I've never felt one. I have no desire to feel one. Let me go look at a tornado. I don't want to feel the earthquake. But all of a sudden, all this thing is happening. And yet the psalmist says we have no fear. We have no need for fear. Why? Because we go back to his first statement. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in time of trouble. We don't have to worry if we lose the earth, if the ocean goes wild, if the mountains start flying through the air and shaking on the ground. We don't need to worry about the circumstances that we can't control because God is the very present help in time of trouble. He is our refuge and our peace. Then he goes on. Says, the Lord is with us. Listen to this. I love these verses. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. And the nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He begins to move on. He begins to tell us about a place. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. There's a river. How many times have we heard about a river in this church? There is a river. There is a river flowing of anointing. Ezekiel went out under the direction of the Holy Ghost and measured out a river. And he said one place it was an ankle deep, and then it was waist deep, and then chest deep, and then it was a mighty river that couldn't be crossed. And everywhere the river flowed, there was healing. There was victory. There was power. The psalmist says, listen, it doesn't matter if the earth goes away, if the seas roar, if all that thing, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the people of God. His stream is going to come out of the holy place. It is that secret place. We talked about it Wednesday night. That secret place, that holy place. Why can we walk without fear? Why can we walk without doubt? Because we know that there is a place that we can come one-on-one with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We can have a relationship that is alive and well. We can talk with him and walk with him. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. This river, this stream, God is in the middle of it. Nothing is going to stop it. The mountains can't stop it. The earthquakes can't stop it. The trials of life can't stop it. Nothing can stop the flow of God's power. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. That's a powerful statement. Nothing that psalmist says that we will miss the darkness of night. But at the break of dawn, there'll be hope. Psalmist says, in another place, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm not preaching a series on stressed out to tell you that you will never have a night of tears. I'm not telling you you'll never face trouble. You'll never feel pain. But I'm telling you that every time you go into it, every time you have weeping, you can go in understanding that on the other side there is victory. There is joy. There is power. There is peace. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. Nations raged. Kingdoms were moved. You know what that says? We've talked about physical. Now we're going to talk about others. Other people. I don't know. I don't know about this. I don't know. They get angry. I'm going to tell you, when you begin to follow God, somebody's going to get angry. Somebody's not going to like you. They're going to say you're weird. You're odd. You're crazy. They said that about me before I ever got saved. But anyway, you're off your rocker. This is not real. I love this one. Religion's just a crutch. Ain't a crutch, it's a hammock. Not a hammock, it's a stretcher. I'll mess my words up. What do you mean it's a stretcher? Because I can walk partially on my own. With God, I need a stretcher because He carries me everywhere I need to go. I need Him to carry me. I can't make it through this life. I've got to have Him. I need His protection. Here, the nations rage. The kingdoms are moved. Listen to this. He, that's a capital H there, that means God, He. That's not He as in somebody. That's He, God. He uttered His voice. God uttered God's voice. And the earth melted. When God utters His voice, when the Word of God speaks, when God begins to talk, everything else fades away. You want to know one of the reasons why we have a problem with fear and we have a problem with stress? Because we haven't let God speak into our life and let the earth melt away yet. We keep telling God what the problem is, and God speaks to us, and He speaks peace, and He speaks hope, and He speaks love, and we ignore Him. And all we've got to do is hear His voice, because when the voice of God comes, the earth melts away. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Listen to what the psalmist says. He says the earth can be moved, the seas can roar, the mountains can fly, everything can shake, nations can rage. But when the voice of God speaks, everything else goes away. He's reminding us who God is. The Lord is our strength. He is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. You know what a refuge is? It's protection. It's a hiding place. The psalmist here is saying, listen, all these things can go wrong. All these things can happen. But we need to understand that God is with us. And if God is with us, all He has to do is speak. And everything's fixed. All He has to do is speak. And the world is changed. But yet, we refuse to hear the word of the psalmist. We refuse to hear the word of God in our life. And we'll come to an altar, and we'll get a tear. We'll get a cry, and we'll, oh, I feel so good, until we go home, and we quit hearing the word of God, and we start hearing the word of our head, and the word of our mind, and the word of our spouse, and the word of our kid, and the word of our neighbor, and the word of our boss, and the word of our doctor. And we don't hang on to the fact that God is with us. He is our refuge. He is our hiding place. I can tell you how we get out of stress is that we quit worrying about what's out there and we remember who's walking with us. Oh, it's not easy. The disciples couldn't figure it out. They walked with Jesus and they couldn't figure it out. They saw Him feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They had seen him do great miracles. Yet one night they get caught in a storm. And they wake Him up. Don't you care we're about to die? Because somehow I just picture that the Messiah is going to die in a shipwreck. Nope. They didn't understand who He was. They seen the miracles, but they didn't hear the voice. Sometimes we hear them, we see the miracles. Sometimes we feel the presence, but we don't walk in the voice. we don't walk under the power of the Word of God. And when we realize who is with us, man, the safest place to be in the world in the middle of the storm was in a boat with Jesus. Yeah, this is good. My dad preached a message many years ago called The Unsinkable Ship. He said they claimed that was the Titanic went down in the first time it came across the ocean. Said the true unsinkable ship was a little fishing boat going across the Sea of Galilee. Because it did not matter what kind of storm it was. It did not matter what kind of waves came up against it. Inside that boat resting was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And at His voice, the storm stopped. At His word, the waves stopped. The psalmist here is telling us, remember who is with you. Remember who is directing you. Remember who is walking with you. Then he goes on. The next verses, he says, come and behold the works of the Lord, who has made the desolation of the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come and behold the works of the Lord. And then look what the psalmist writes. He doesn't write about the beautiful sunrises or the sunsets full of splendor. I was trying to figure out how to say that. Sunsets full of splendor. He doesn't talk about purple mountains' majesty. He doesn't talk about the beauty of my beautiful, gorgeous wife. No. He says, come and behold the works of the Lord. Now, if I was going to list out the works of the Lord, I think I would talk about the sunrise and the sunset. I think I'd talk about the mountains. I think I might talk about being in Sichuan in Mazu City this past summer. And after the rain had fallen overnight and beat down the smog that was in that area, looked out of a second floor room of a classroom and saw a mountain range that looked like it sprouted up from the midst of heaven itself. I've seen a lot of things in 48 years. That's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. I might tell about that when I was going to describe the works of God. Not the psalmist. Because the psalmist wanted us to understand that we have no need to worry. Come and behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolation in the earth. Huh? I'm going to be honest with you. Most of y'all know I don't read very well. I read that verse, and I read like five times, and I got to be reading that word wrong. Desolations? You know what a desolation is? It's a barren spot. It's desolated. It's a dry place. It's all the things that we complain about. God, I'm in a dry place. I'm in a desolate wilderness. I know I made it. The psalmist is telling us, he's reminding us that we don't need to fear the desolate places. We don't need to fear the lonely places, the dry places, because God put them there. Oh, everybody's just shouting the victory. Everybody's just so happy. God has given us desolate places. I got news for you. Without desolate places, without places that we go through, we have no maturity. God's not spoiling us. Sometimes we go through dry places. Sometimes we go to a desolate place and that's where God does his miracles. The Bible says that they went to get away from the crowd. And they went to a desolate place, a deserted place. You know why they went to a deserted place? They wanted to rest. They wanted to get away because everywhere they went, Jesus drew a crowd. So they went to a deserted place. And guess what happened? They followed him from the city to the desert. And in the middle of that deserted place, 5,000 men gathered, not counting women and children. And Jesus had compassion. And he took a little boy's lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he fed 5,000. Let me tell you something. That didn't happen in town. That didn't happen by the river. It happened in a deserted place, in a desolate place, in a place of dryness, in a place where there was no other way but to depend on God. I'm going to tell you, sometimes look at the wondrous work of God. He's created desolation on the earth. He has given us places that we can learn to trust him. We can't trust ourselves. We can't trust anybody else. But the Lord our God is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And in the middle of the desolate places, he's our power and he's our strength. He goes on. He says, he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. War. War is the fighting of two peoples. War is when two people or nations fight. You ever been where your problem wasn't that you were dry or you were in a desolate place? It was that everybody around you was in war. And half of them were warring against you. They were fighting. They were attacking. They were in attack mode. It is when men move against men. But he says, look, come and behold the works of the Lord. He makes wars cease. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. You know what that's about? He takes the very weapons of warfare and he breaks them. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We fight spiritually. And when we fight spiritually, God breaks the weapons carnally. The weapons of our warfare are not flesh and blood. God breaks those. He burns the chariots in the fire. When we look and we feel like everybody's against us, when we understand that God is with us, every other trial, every other situation fades away because the Lord, God, our refuge, breaks the bow, burns the chariot, breaks the spear. Why? Because he is all powerful. He's able. So the psalmist begins to prophesy from the Lord. Stand still. Stand still and know that I am God. I'll tell you the best way to defeat stress in your life. Get to a place and stand still. Be still. Why? Because when we stand still and we put everything in God's hands, we know that he is God. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they had followed the cloud to the Red Sea, and all of a sudden, they looked behind them and they could see the advancing army of the Egyptian army coming to capture them again. I think I preached it several years ago here, but I've got a sermon I preached years ago called Caught Between the Clouds. Following the cloud of God and having the cloud of dust coming as the enemy comes to attack you. And they felt like they were trapped. But all of a sudden, the cloud of the Lord lifted. Settled behind them and slowed up the enemy. And the Lord told Moses to reach forth his staff across the water. And the water parted so they could walk across on dry land. And the word of the Lord came to Moses. And Moses told the people, stand still and see the deliverance of your God. Got another sermon, and I know I've preached it here too as well. Forgive my redundance, but preach a sermon called talking about move. It's called move. One of the points of that sermon was stand still and move on. Stand still and move on. When God opens the path, quit trying to figure out how to fight the enemy and just follow God. Just follow God. He is the one that can break the enemy. Here the psalmist says, prophetically from the Lord, stand still and know that I am God. What he's saying is, you don't have to walk in your stress. You don't have to walk in your doubt. You don't have to walk in your fear. If you'll stand still and let God fight your battle. Let God be victorious. Let God be God. He says this. He says, stand still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Hear those words. The Lord speaking. Quit trying to make it about you. Quit trying to make it about what you survived. Oh, we're horrible about that, especially in the Pentecostal church. Our testimonies become our list of accomplishments. I have not done anything. God's done a few things through me. I can't even tell you all the things God's delivered me from. I can't tell you all the times that I should have been taken out, but God stepped in, and I let God have the way. But God is the one, not me. Stand still and know that I am God. When you're standing still, you know it's not about you. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God is speaking, say, you don't have to earn this for me. I'm already the creator. I will be exalted. I will be exalted. And then the psalmist reminds us one more time. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Church, we've talked for the last 2 months about stress. We've talked about giving it to Him. We've talked about Him having a plan. We've talked about His provision. We've talked about how that God directs our steps. But it all comes down to this one fact. If we will understand that He is with us, that He is our refuge, the need for stress goes away. If we'll just understand that at His word, the earth melts. There's no problem too big or too little in your life that God can't fix it. All we got to do is trust. All we got to do is stand still. And when we stand still and let God be God. I love how Pastor Jared says it. We need to understand that it's time that we let God be God. And let God handle. He says one thing, and I may take a little twist on what he says. He says, let God handle what God needs to handle. And we'll handle what we need to handle. Well, I agree with that. But let me tell you, what we need to handle is written in this verse. Stand still. That's what we handle. God handles everything else. Stand still and know that I am God. The only way we can have the faith to stand still is to know God. The only way to know God is to seek God. And when we seek God, we should have no need of stress. We should have no need of fear and doubt, because God is God. Pastor, you saying everything will come out exactly the way we want it? Nope. Didn't say that. You saying we'll never have a bad day? Nope. Didn't say that. You saying nothing will ever go wrong? Nope. Didn't say that. But God is God. Sometimes things go the way I didn't want them to go, but it's the way God wanted them to go. Sometimes there's been times in my life God, it didn't go the way I wanted to go because I wouldn't listen to God when God told me what I needed to do. Sometimes what I think is a great failure turns into a great success, a great victory. I'll get in trouble later, but I'm going to say it anyway. There were times in my life that I would have swore to you that this girl, she was my wife. She was going to be it. That was the one. I knew it. That was the one. And then we broke up. And I over-exaggerated. I made a catastrophe out of it. There'll never be anybody like her. It'll never be. And now I look back and think, oh, thank you, Jesus. You knew more than I knew. You knew more than I knew. I was 20 years old when I met Beth. 20. Anyway. I'm going to tell you, before I met Beth, there were a couple girls. I thought, oh, this is it. This is the one God wants me to marry. No. And when it fell apart, it hurt. I'm not too big of a man to tell you. There were times I cried. I remember telling God I won't ever get a wife because I was so old. I was 20. I'll never have a wife. You've heard me tell the story of how me and Beth met and didn't like each other. I can tell you why we met and didn't like each other. Because I asked God, God, you got to let me meet my wife by X date. And I did. Just had no idea it was my wife. God allowed me to meet her before it was time. Let me tell you something. I look back. And there are times I think, oh, I thought it was so bad when that happened. I thought my world was going to end. But God knew. God knew. Had a situation early in our ministry. Went to youth camp. Met a guy that I had grown up around. He was much older than me, but he was in high school when I was in junior high, in elementary school. And he was going to another church, and he was a deacon at that church, and him and another guy, and got to talking to him a little bit, and they cornered me the last day of youth camp. And I was pastor in my first little church, and they said, have you ever thought about being a youth pastor? Yeah. Our church is looking for a youth pastor, and if you would call our pastor, who I'd known since I was a kid, we'll recommend you. And it was the biggest church in our state, in Oklahoma. I was like, yeah. And I called, and they were going to put me on full time as a youth pastor. And I was going to make, and I get this, I was going to make $18,000 a year. I was going to be rich. We were never going to need anything else. We were going to have everything set for life. Back then, that sounded like a lot of money. And I called, and everything was set up. I later met another guy that was involved in that situation. He had been told he was going to get hired. And He told me he got a phone call one day and said, hey, there's a guy in our state that pastors a church that says he'll leave his church to come be the youth pastor. You're out. He's in. Later on, me and him became friends. And it was all set. I had my resignation letter written. They had a church conference. I was waiting for the phone call. I was pacing the floor. Call didn't come at 8 like I thought it would. It didn't come at 9. It didn't come at 10. It was about 10:30 or 11 o'clock when I got a phone call from that pastor. Tommy, I don't know what's going on. We got to the point in the budget to approve the youth pastor's salary, and I got a bunch of people that threw a fit. I'm dealing with the church split. We didn't even finish the budget trying to calm everybody down. Tommy, I can't hire a youth pastor right now. It split my church. But I didn't get to go. Church ran 150 people. Thought it was huge in those days. 8 months later, I get a phone call. I get the opportunity to go to St. Louis, Missouri, to a church running 400. And what was my big break into full-time ministry was twice what I thought it was going to be. Pastor, why do you tell that story? Because sometimes you think, man, when I didn't get that job, I thought, man, it won't ever happen. I can go on. I got tired of trying to make it in ministry. We wasn't getting any money. I was working all the time. I applied for a regular job. They wouldn't hire me, and I was mad. The day they told me they wouldn't hire me, I was mad. I was angry. And I'm driving home. I was trying to get a job at the same place Beth worked. And we're driving home, and I'm like, I'll never be able to do anything. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. I'll have to, you know, work for minimum wage the rest of my life and blah, 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 blah. And Beth looks at me and says, maybe that pastor from Missouri will call you. I said, that pastor from Missouri's had my resume 4 months. He ain't going to call me. Guess what was on the voicemail when we got home? The pastor from Missouri. We'll set up an interview with you. I thought it was over because I forgot who was with me. The Lord our God is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. All I've got to do is stand still and know that He is God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You and I praise You for Your power. Lord, I thank You that You created